that they would be equipped for the work of the ministry and for the kingdom of God, Lord, that you would edify us and build us up this morning, Father. We gather, Father, for the single purpose of worshiping the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we commit this time into your hands. As we open your word, we pray that you would open our hearts and that you would speak to us the word that we need to hear this morning, Father. Many of us, Father, have come with heavy burdens and much trial, but we know, Father, that there is nothing impossible for you, and you are able to bring us the peace that surpasses all understanding. And we pray, Father, that this morning you would, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many can say amen this morning? Amen. If you have your Bibles, what if you turn with me to the book of Jonah? The book of Jonah. And this morning we're going to be covering Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. If you recall, for the past few weeks, we've been studying the book of Jonah. And as we started our study, we saw that the book opens up with God calling the prophet Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and to cry out against the city because of their wickedness. But as we continue to study the book, we saw how instead of obeying the Lord and going to Nineveh, Jonah disobeyed the Lord. And he really tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he went the opposite direction. He went to Tarshish. The Lord told him, go east, go to Nineveh. And Jonah disobeyed and he went west and he went to Tarshish. But as we saw, this decision by Jonah turned out to be a very big mistake. You see, Jonah, he never made it to Tarshish, but we read that eventually he found himself in the belly of a great fish. Jonah disobeyed the Lord, rebelled against him. And so the Lord, he had to deal with Jonah. He had to work out his perfect plan in Jonah's life. And he used a great fish to do it. You know, oftentimes the Lord uses great fishes in our lives to perfect his work. You know, the Lord is a master craftsman. And oftentimes he needs to chisel us from all our imperfections, from all our shortcomings, in order to prepare us for eternity. And that's what he did to his servant Jonah. Jonah rebelled. Jonah had some issues that he was dealing with, as we all do. And so God used this great big fish to swallow Jonah in order to bring Jonah to a place of brokenness, in a place of repentance. And we read in chapter 2 that after being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah finally came to a place of brokenness, in a place of rededication before the Lord. And last week we saw in chapter 2 how Jonah offered a beautiful prayer unto the Lord, how he recognized that by turning his back on the Lord, by regarding worthless idols, that Jonah was forsaking his own mercy. And out of a heart of repentance and brokenness, he offered up this prayer to the Lord. And we read at the end of chapter 2 that the Lord heard the prayer of Jonah and that the Lord spoke to the great fish, and the great fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. You know, I always think whenever I read that, that the great fish was more obedient than Jonah, because the Lord only had to speak to Jonah. Excuse me, the Lord only had to speak to the big fish once, and the big fish obeyed. And so we can even learn a lesson from a fish. Amen. Amen. And so that's what we've been looking at for the past few weeks. And this morning we want to continue our study, and we're going to be in Jonah chapter 3. And I'll be honest with you, this is an amazing chapter, and we really kind of begin a new section in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and 2 is the first section where we see Jonah fleeing from the Lord. In chapter 3 and 4 begins the next section where we see Jonah being obedient to the Lord. And so let's begin in chapter 3, and let's begin by reading a few verses to begin our study this morning. This is what we read in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, amen, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. And so in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we read that after the Lord spoke to the fish, and after the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land, we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and the Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh. For a second time, God told Jonah in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Now, the first time God called Jonah to go to Nineveh was in chapter 1, verse 2. However, as we saw, Jonah was disobedient to the Lord, and it resulted in disaster. But as we're going to see in a moment, in a few verses ahead, this second time, Jonah, he's going to be obedient to the Lord. And it's going to result not in disaster, but in great blessing. And so beginning in chapter 3, we see that God called Jonah a second time and told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah, man, Jonah messed up. He blew it. He was disobedient, and Jonah brought great disaster upon himself because of that. But yet here in chapter 3, verse 1, we read that God was not finished with Jonah yet. God, he was going to give Jonah a second chance. Amen. Our God is the God of second chances. That's what Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 teaches me and teaches you, that God, he's the God of second chances. God is patient with us. God is gracious and merciful towards us. He does not give us what we deserve, but he gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us a second chance. Amen. You see, we all make mistakes. If you're anything like me, you understand that we're far from perfect. We all make mistakes. We all fall short and stumble. We all have our struggles within the Christian walk. But the Bible teaches us that as we repent of our sins, as Jonah did in chapter 2, as we confess our wrongdoings before the Lord, as Jonah did in chapter 2, that God, He is willing and he is ready to forgive us, to cleanse us, and restore us. God is the God of second chances. Regardless of where you have been or what you have done, there's always hope in Christ. There is always help in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is always found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of second chances. God delights in giving people a second chance. And not only a second chance, but oftentimes a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. That's the character of God. That's the God that we serve. He's so different than you and me. Because, as you all know, humans, they don't like to give a second chance. Humans are not so quick to forgive. But we like to hold grudges. We like to be filled with bitterness, anger, and hatred towards those who failed us. Or towards those who let us down. But praise God that God is nothing like you and nothing like me. But he is long-suffering, slow to anger, and he delights in giving second chances. And that's what he gave his servant Jonah. The word of the Lord came to him the second time. Oh, when I read that phrase, when I read that verse, my heart gets filled with joy because I've experienced that personally. That's my life story. That's my testimony. You see, before I came to Christ, before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was headed towards destruction. I spent my entire youth abusing, destroying, just living a life that was ungodly. I had no future and I had no hope. I blew it. I did things that I was headed towards destruction. And that was my life before I came to Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy and in grace, he had other plans for my life. And you want to know something? He gave me a second chance. He gave me a second chance of life. I blew it. I made mistakes. I deserved hell. I'll be honest with you. I've done things in the past that are deserving of hell. And if you're, don't get mad at me this morning, I'll share this. You've done many things also that are deserving of hell. But God, he's rich in mercy and in grace. And through Christ, he doesn't give us hell. Amen? But what does he do? He gives us a second chance. And that's my life story. I was headed towards destruction, but the Lord, he rescued me. He took me out of the gutter. He washed me. He cleansed me with his precious blood. He clothed me with the garments of righteousness. You know, the scriptures teach us that our sins are as filthy rags before the Lord. But when we come to Christ, in essence, the Lord, he removes our filthy rags. He removes his garments of righteousness and he wraps us with garments of righteousness. His very own righteousness. And that's what the Lord did in my life. He rescued me. He washed me. He clothed me. He placed my feet on solid ground. And he gave me a second chance. A second chance to live life with a bright future. a second chance to live life with a living hope. A second chance to live life with purpose, which I had never done before, with value and with meaning. A second chance to live life for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord gave me through Christ. And I believe this morning that's what the Lord gave many of us here this morning also. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You know, I love that verse because really what Paul's teaching us is that in Christ we receive a new beginning. We are new creations. Christ has made all things new. Regardless of what you have done in the past, regardless of things you have said or touched or places you have gone, Christ has the power to forgive us, to cleanse us, to restore us, and to bring us into a new life, a new beginning. And in Christ, I am a new creation. I'm a child of God. And if you're in Christ this morning, you would say with me, amen. Because I'm a new creation too, Adam. You know, sometimes brothers tell me, oh, if you would have known me before I came to Christ, you wouldn't have liked me that much. And I said, I know what you're talking about, brother, because you wouldn't have liked me either. But all that doesn't matter now on this side of the cross, because in Christ, we're a new creation. We've been given a second chance, like the prophet Jonah. And this morning, don't allow Satan to trick you in believing that there's no hope. For there is always hope. For our God is the God of second chances. No matter what you've done, where you've gone, what you've said, or what you felt, God's grace is so much bigger. God's grace is infinitely great, limitless, measureless, and there's always hope. There's always hope. As long as there's air in our lungs, there is hope. There's hope in Jesus for help, for forgiveness, for salvation, for a new life. There's always hope in Christ. As long as there's air in our lungs and our heart is beating, there is hope. For our God is the God of second chances. Amen? And so the Lord, He came to Jonah the second time. And you should underline that in your Bible, because believe me, you're going to need to remember that throughout your Christian walk. And the Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach the message that He would tell him to preach. Let's continue in verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And we'll pause there for a moment. So in verse 3 we read that after the Lord came to Jonah the second time and told him to go to Nineveh, we read that Jonah arose and Jonah went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. After disobeying the Lord the first time and fleeing to Tarshish, Jonah learned his lesson. Amen. It only took him one try and he learned his lesson. You know, some of us, it takes us maybe 4 or 5 or 6. But Jonah, he learned on his first failure, his first mistake. He learned his lesson and he obeyed. And he went to Nineveh. Now, Jonah learned, and please pay attention to this. Jonah learned what everyone will eventually learn, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. And this is what Jonah learned. Disobedience to the Lord always brings disaster. If you're a Christian or even a non-Christian. And for non-Christians, it's a little worse because disaster is eternal separation from God. But disobedience always brings disaster, but obedience will always bring blessing. And that's the lesson Jonah learned. And therefore, he realized there's no use fighting. There's no use resisting because if I do, I'm just forsaking my own mercy. It is better to obey. And Jonah, he went to Nineveh. You know, the best decision you can make is to obey the word of God. You'll never regret walking in obedience to the word of God. Even if you don't want to do it. Even if, you know, you're a little hesitant, you're struggling with it, obey. Save yourself a big, big headache. Obey. That's the best decision you can make. Now, the worst decision you can make is disobey the word of God. Disobedience, it never turns out good. Never. Going against the word of God, it never will turn out good. You see, God, he's given us his word for our benefit, for our safety, for our protection. And if we go against his word, all we're doing is bringing harm to ourselves. You know, God, he doesn't tell us to stay away from sin and to stay away from unrighteousness because he's a strict father who likes to spoil the fun. That's not what it's about. God tells us to stay away from sin and from unrighteousness because he's a loving father. And he wants to protect us from the consequences of sin. He wants to protect us from the heartaches, from the pain, from the stress, from the trials that sin brings. And as a loving father, he gives us his word for our protection, for our benefit, for our safety, for our blessing. And as children of God, for those who have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are expected to obey. No questions asked. You know, the Lord says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to follow my word. You're going to walk in obedience. Don't tell me you love the Lord if you're walking in disobedience. Don't say that. They don't go together. You know, so many times I come across certain individuals and with their mouths, they talk a big talk. They talk very spiritual. They know the language. They come up to me and say, hey, God bless you, brother. The Lord is so good. Oh, you know, praise the Lord and whatnot. But it's so sad because with their life, they're denying Christ. with their mouth, they're professing Christ, but their life is not matching up. They're not walking in obedience, but they're practicing sin. And obedience really is love, is demonstrated in obedience. And the Lord tells you and the Lord tells me, if you love me, keep my commands. Keep my commandments. If you love me, if you genuinely have a love for me, walk in obedience. Keep my word. Live my word, because that's how you're going to demonstrate your love towards me. Don't talk it, but walk it. Don't tell me you're a Christian, but show me you're a Christian. And so it's so important that we walk in obedience. It's for our benefit. It's for our safety. It's for our own good. And that's what Jonah did. The word came the second time, and Jonah said, man, I don't want to go back to the fish, so I'm going to obey, and I'm going to go to Nineveh. He was obedient. Now, I want to point this thing out, and I thought it was pretty interesting, and you might miss it if you don't look closely for it. And this is what I want to share. In Jonah's obedience, Jonah demonstrated great faith in his obedience. And I want to point it out to you in verse 2. If you can look with me again in verse 2, you see, look at what the Lord told Jonah. The Lord said, go to Nineveh and preach to it the message that I tell you. Go to Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. Now, this is what God was saying. Don't miss it. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, travel 550 miles east. It's going to take you a month to make it, but go to Nineveh, and at some point, I'm going to tell you what to preach. You see, God, when he told Jonah to go, he had not given the message to Jonah yet. He had not told Jonah what to preach. Yet in spite of that, Jonah still obeyed. And Jonah made his journey by faith. By faith. Jonah didn't know what he was going to say. God had not revealed it to him yet. God just told him, go. And eventually, I'll tell you what to say. Jonah didn't have the message, the sermon yet. But still, in spite of that, by faith, he obeyed. And he went to Nineveh. Now, what is that little detail teaching me and teaching you? Well, simply this. Oftentimes, obedience to the Lord requires faith. Oftentimes, obedience requires faith. You see, there's going to come a time in your life when God's going to ask you to do something, and he is not going to tell you all the details. There's going to come a time in your life, or many times, that God, he's going to tell you to do something, and he's not going to tell you all the details. He's going to leave you in the dark. And if you don't believe me, ask Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, leave your family, get out of your country, and go to the land that I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you right now, Abraham, but you know, just leave and start walking. And eventually, I'm going to tell you where to go. And oh man, Hebrews chapter 11 gives us the commentary. By faith, Abraham obeyed the Lord. Sometimes, oftentimes, obedience requires faith. God's going to ask you maybe to do something, and you're going to have to take a step of faith. in order to obey. You know, during those times, you're going to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, the Christian life, it's a life lived out by faith. The Christian walk is a walk by faith. We don't walk by emotions because oftentimes our emotions change. You know, our emotions, man, they change depending on what you eat for lunch. Amen? You know, if I eat something greasy, the excitement's not there. But if I eat maybe a salad, oh man, I'm ready, you know? You guys understand what I'm saying? Emotions, they change. But the Christian walk, it's not based on emotion. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on intellect. It's not based on popular opinion. What my family tells me or what a boss or a coworker might say. The Christian walk is based on faith. We walk by faith. Amen. How many came this morning by faith that the Lord was going to speak to us? Amen. How many will return tonight by faith that the Lord's going to speak to me? The Christian walk is lived out by faith. Because if it wasn't, what would we do? We would have slept in this morning. Amen. You know, and some of you are saying, man, I really wanted to. That alarm was going off and that snooze button was putting in some work this morning. You know, if you're anything like me, you hit that snooze button 10 times before you get up. You know, sometimes my wife tells me, why didn't you just set your alarm at 8? You know, because I set it at 7, but like by the time I get up, it doesn't really work, you know. But we get up not by emotion, not by feeling, not by how we feel or what we sense, but we get up by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, the Christian journey, as we journey through life to the celestial city, to heaven, we journey by faith. It's a journey we make by faith and not by sight. We focus on things that we do not see, not on things that we see. We stay heavenly minded, focused on eternity, not focused on our situation, not focused on our environment, but it's a journey based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see here in chapter 3, that Jonah obeyed by faith. And he made his journey to Nineveh, trusting that the Lord would speak to him. And it's so beautiful because we read in verse 4 that the Lord spoke to him. The Lord honored his faith and the Lord gave him the message. And look at what the message was again with me in verse 4. Jonah arrived to the city. And on the first day walk, this is what he cried out. This is what the Lord gave him to share. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the message that the Lord promised he would give to Jonah. What a message. Yet 40 days and man, it's all over. You guys are goners. You guys have 40 days and it's overthrown. You know, there wasn't no God loves you, Jesus died for you. None of that. You have 40 days and it's all over. It was brief. It was blunt. But as we're going to see, it was blessed. God blessed it. It wasn't a friendly message. It wasn't a popular message. It wasn't a politically correct message. Jonah wasn't going to make no friends sharing that in Nineveh. But because it was God's message, it was a blessed message. You know, we can learn something from that. You see, the gospel It's not a popular message. You know, if you share the gospel, you're going to offend some people. You're going to make some enemies. People are going to get upset with you if you share the gospel, if you share God's message concerning His Son. You're going to get into some problems. But in spite of that, we have to share it because it's God's message. That's the message that God has commissioned us to share. And it doesn't matter if it's popular. It doesn't matter if it's a friendly or a nice message. But it's God's message. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And like Jonah, we have to be faithful to share this message that God has given us. You know, they say truth hurts, but they forget to tell you that deception kills. Truth hurts, but deception kills. And I'll be honest with you, I would rather make enemies by speaking the truth than make friends by speaking lies. I'd rather tell someone, if you don't repent and come to Jesus Christ as your only Savior and Lord, you will spend eternity separated from God. I would rather share that message and someone get upset with me and someone get offended with me than to share, you know what, believe whatever you want. All roads lead to heaven and they love me. I would rather tell them truth than to speak lie. And as you share the gospel, you're going to offend. People are not going to like you. But guess what? They didn't like Jesus. And that's the calling. And so Jonah, he was obedient to God. He traveled to Nineveh and he proclaimed the message that God gave him. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let's continue to read. And let's now read the response of Nineveh. Look at how the city received this message. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. That's how we know that the message was from God. They believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? That is the power of God right there. We read that as Jonah entered the city and preached God's message, we read that the people of Nineveh, they believed God and they responded wholeheartedly to the message. Now we read that the entire city, from the greatest to the least, from the king to the street beggar, from the noble even to the flocks and the animals, they all with one accord repented before the Lord. And we read that the king, he was so broken and so concerned that with his nobles, he issued a decree to the entire city. And he commanded the entire city to fast, to cover themselves with sackcloth, to turn from their evil ways, to stop their violence, and to cry out to the Lord for mercy. That was the revival that took place in Nineveh. You know, that's probably one of the greatest revivals we find recorded for us in the entire Bible. You see, Nineveh, it was a big city. As we're going to learn next week, many people believe that it was probably composed of about 600,000 inhabitants. And yet the Bible teaches us that the entire city, from the greatest to the least, were so impacted by the message of Jonah that they became broken before the Lord. And with one accord, they began to cry out for mercy. For mercy. You know, when you think of the city of Nineveh, and how historians teach us that they were the most cruelest, the most violent, the most immoral people of all of the ancient world. When we read this, you know, we say, man, God can do the impossible. God has the power to change the most vilest heart. God has the power to transform the most wickedest person. And that's what he did in the city of Nineveh. Revival broke out. And you want to know what's so amazing about this revival? And this is something I remind myself every day as a minister of the gospel. The revival, it had nothing to do with the messenger, but it had everything to do with the message. You see, Jonah, he didn't even want to go. Jonah, he didn't even like the Ninevites. He didn't care if they repented. He didn't care if they changed their ways and cried out. Jonah, he didn't care about them. And we're going to see that more next week in chapter 4. But in spite of that, God still used them. And God still did a miraculous work. The word of God was preached, and the power of God touched the hearts of the people. And lives were broken, lives were changed, and as we're going to see, lives were spared. You know, that's why it's so important to share the word of God. That's where the power is found, in the word of God. You know, think about your situation, your testimony, that I'm sure many of us, one day we came to church, or maybe we talked to someone on the street or a family member, and for the first time we heard the word of God. We heard the scriptures being taught and preached, and the word of God came in like a double-edged sword. And it pierced our hearts, and it changed us. It transformed us. And that's the power behind the word. And that's why you must never underestimate the word of God. You must never underestimate the scriptures, for they are living and for they are powerful. Amen. And that's what we see. Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached the message of God, and the message of God was blessed by God. Now, before we finish up, and we're going to finish up in a few moments, I just want to point this out. We learned such a valuable lesson from the Ninevites in their response to Jonah's message, in their response to the word of God. And this is what I mean by that. When Jonah preached God's message to Nineveh, the Ninevites, they responded in two ways. And don't miss this. They responded in belief and they responded in action. And this is what I mean by that. They believed that the message was from God. And because of that, they didn't ignore it, but they listened to it. And they took the appropriate action. In other words, the word of God was preached, and they just didn't set it to the side, or they didn't say, well, you know, we believe it. We believe it's from the Lord, but, you know, it's not going to be a priority in our lives right now. We're just going to set it aside, and we'll make time for it eventually. That's not what they did. The word was preached, and immediately they believed it, and they took the appropriate action. And you know, that's so important. Because many people in this country, they believe that the Bible is the word of God. A majority. I'm not saying everyone. I'm not even saying a large percentage. But the majority in this country, they believe that this is the word of God. But sadly, they fail to listen to it. And they fail to put it to action in their lives. And many, they believe it's the word, but they don't receive it as the word of God. They treat it like the word of man in practice. They ignore it, they disobey it, and they fail to apply it to their lives. And you want to know something? A lot of Christians fall in that category. A lot of Christians treat the Bible as man's words. Many Christians. God has given us the instruction book. God has given us the manual for living. And many Christians say, oh, well, I believe in the Bible. I believe it's inspired by God, but in practice, they don't practice it. They don't apply it to their lives, and they treat it as it's from man. With their mouth, they say, man, it's the scriptures, but in life, they say, well, it's just another book. It's not the word. It's not something that I should be concerned with. Is not something that I should make a priority. And you want to know something? That is such a dangerous, dangerous place to be in. That's such a dangerous place. Because God is going to hold me and God is going to hold you accountable for this book. When we see Him face to face, there's going to be no excuse. Because you know what God's going to tell you? And you know what He's going to tell me? He's going to say, I've given you a book. What did you do with it? I've given you the instruction book. I've told you everything you need to know. I've told you everything. And there's not going to be any excuse. You know, the scriptures teach us that one day Jesus is going to return and Jesus is going to take vengeance on those who did not obey the gospel. And He's going to take vengeance with flaming fire. And they're going to be punished for all of eternity from the presence of God because they didn't obey the gospel. They knew the gospel. They heard about Jesus, how He went to the cross, how He died for the sins of mankind. But because they didn't obey it, because they didn't do anything with it, the scriptures teach us that for all of eternity, they're going to be punished, separated from the presence of God. How important it is that we receive the scriptures as they truly are from God. How do you receive the word? How do you view the word? Do you ignore it? Or do you listen to it? Do you reject it? Or do you live it? I would just encourage you this morning, learn to live the word. Because it's the instruction book for life. Without it, all the parts, they just don't fit. They just don't come together. Learn to apply and live the word. And so Jonah entered the city, preached God's message, and the entire city repented before God and cried out for mercy to God. And I'm going to ask Jonah to come up and let's prepare for communion. And let's just finish our study with verse 10. Let's just finish with this verse and let's look at the response of God. Look at what we read. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. As the Ninevites repented before the Lord, they turned from their evil ways. The scriptures teach us that God saw their works, and guess what? God had mercy on them, and he spared them from destruction. And this is all I want to share in conclusion. Chapter 3 teaches us so much about the character of God. That's the God that we serve, the God of second chances. You know, chapter 3 is so beautiful because in verse 1, it begins with God giving Jonah a second chance. Jonah was a Jew. He had a Jewish descent. And God began the chapter by giving Jonah a second chance. And then as we read the chapter and we come to verse 10, we conclude the chapter by seeing that God gave the Ninevites a second chance, whom were Gentiles. And so whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, God is willing, God is ready to give a second chance. And that's the God that we serve. The God of all grace and the God of all mercy. Regardless of how much times you've blown it, how much times you've stumbled or fallen, as we repent and turn to Christ, there is always forgiveness, there is always salvation, and there is always hope. And the hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next week, we're going to finish up our study in the book of Jonah, and we're going to learn more about this all-loving, all-gracious, all-merciful God. And I hope and pray that you join us for our study next week. What if we stand in a word of prayer, and we're just going to pray before we partake of communion this morning as a family? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, for all the spiritual truths and all the spiritual lessons that are found in your word. Thank you, Father, that you inspired the prophet Jonah to take this time and to write down his testimony, to write down his story of what happened to him, Lord. There's just so much in there that we can learn. And this morning, Father, you really teach us and you really show us that you're the God of second chances, that you are so merciful, so gracious, so loving. Father, there's times that we make mistakes, we fall short, and the enemy, Satan, he's so quick to bring condemnation. He's so quick to rub it in our face, to try to teach us and tell us that there's no more hope, that you're upset with us, that you're tired of us, that you're mad at us. But this morning, Father, you teach us from your word that that condemnation is farthest from the truth. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That there's hope in Christ. There's hope for a new beginning. There's hope for forgiveness and salvation. And it's found in Jesus. For you are the God of second chances. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us a second chance. We thank you, Father, that all of us were headed towards destruction. And yet, Father, in your infinite grace and love, you rescued us. You reached down and redeemed us and saved us. And Father, this morning, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for a new beginning. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, it's because of what he did on the cross. That now through him and through the cross, through his resurrection, we have access to your grace. And Father, as we spend a few moments now in communion, in remembering the sacrifice of our Savior, I pray, Father, that you would bless our time and that this would be a time of remembrance and a time of celebration as we remember the cross, but as we look forward in great anticipation to the return of the King.